Man behinte machine.
Dr. Absolito, dinner party with TQ4. And we got some Defender going on. I was just saying how nostalgic it is. But we've got a wonderful night ahead of us. We'll be going live soon. So check out Rumble. You're going to be listening to this, obviously, on iTunes, Spotify, Android, and all these places. But we're also going to be doing a live video, Man Behind the Machine, Dr. Absolito, with TQ4, tonight on Rumble. Check us out. I'll be posting a link online, and you'll find us. The easiest way is to go on to Instagram and add us, and you can find the updates there with all the events and special, you know, video presentations and events that we've got going on. So connect with us there. And TQ4, what are your thoughts here about tonight?
Looking forward to having a lot of video sources and some good sound happening. I think it's going to be fun.
What do we got going on here?
A DVD player, a video game unit, a synthesizer meeting, one camera, doing a hot mix, going to Rumble live. It's nice. It saves me having gigabytes of video to upload or transcode or whatever. It just goes straight to the cloud and it's right there. Done deal.
How many hours have we already done on Man Behind the Machine with these synthesizer meetings? How many hours?
Did we start it in like 2021?
Something like that, yeah. So many, many hours.
Yeah.
Okay, we did a anniversary kind of episode last year where there was 24 or 26 hours of jam sessions we did with the TQ44 and all the synthesizers, the Moog, the this, the that, all the specialty unreleased software that TQ4 has written. And you hear it in the background, you hear all this electronic music. So TQ4 wrote the software. And then we've got a Nintendo Game Boy, you know, whatever thing, box, black box, playing a bunch of retro games. So Clone 64 we're bringing you video games via courtesy of Clone 64. We got some clone hardware from somewhere around the world. It doesn't matter. All that matters is we could stay together, play, have fun, and focus on bringing peace to the world and making sure we have a sustainable planet, okay? Doing everything we can to recycle, reuse, and downgrade. Dr. Absolito, we're going to come back. We're going to go eat some dinner, and we're finishing setting up here. We got cables, spaghetti galore, so not just in the kitchen, but spaghetti electronically. Ugly. There's an ugly. Yeah, he's got some kind of really huge. Okay, you can leave it there because I got to take a photo because it's so natural. But literally, all the spaghetti. Right? So I'm terming this the Spaghetti Wars. Dr. Absolito's.
Yep. The
spaghetti.
The Spaghetti Code.
The Spaghetti Code. Playing Defender. What did I say earlier? You said play a space game, and I said Defender, and TQ4 said, what did you say? Galaga?
Yeah.
Right? Or Xevious. Yeah, we played Xevious, and then Galaga, now Defender. So what are you going to do? You know? You got to play. You got to keep it going. You think I'm going to go play PS5? That's cool if you want to play it. I don't mind that, but I'm not upgrading. It makes me very uncomfortable. So I got to stick with what's good. So TQ4 asked me, bring a, what did you say, an RCA box?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I brought it, and it's kind of tiny. But here, we're going to do this. Here. Oh, see, this is go. We got to go here. Okay. I got to find the rules and try to learn that. I want to play these games. I don't know, tic-tac-toe, chess, global, thermo, nuclear war.
Yeah, it'd be cool if there was a nuke war game. I don't know if you remember the basic game, Nuke War.
No.
It was a grid type game, and you'd have to decide whether you wanted to build a bomber base.
Oh yeah.
Or a missile, or
guess what?
A fighter base.
Oh yeah.
And so then, if it's like 1952,
guess what this is?
Galaga.
Nope, Galaxian.
Oh yeah, Galaxian.
Look,
the bad guy.
You tell me this doesn't evoke every pizzeria you've been in. This sound? Come on.
Yeah,
man.
This is a very common game. Galaga was so superior, though.
Right.
Because you could get the double firepower. Plus, this is like, you're just so slow and weak. And the patterns are hard to gather. You know?
Yeah.
Sounds like an old phone ringing. Like some kind of Motorola chip.
I try to be strategic with each shot. Oh, look at that. Game over. Game over. No. So it's been some time since I played this. Obsoleto.
Player asteroids.
I could see asteroids. I've got Challenger. Let's see. We got Joust. Let's see. Okay. Atlantis? Cybernoid?
Yeah. Okay. Cybernoid.
Yeah. Remember that?
Nope.
Okay. 1989.
Are you a robot?
Something.
Oh, you have to go through the level.
This is pretty sick.
That is sick.
This is worth it. This the whole console just for this game. Well, I gotta see where I'm going, bro.
Glitched out.
Whoa. See, you get free art. See?
Yep.
What do you think about them apples?
Yep.
1989.
So we've got sort of a feedback loop too now. Which we don't have to have. Sorry. Yeah, that looks like a fun adventure.
Right.
You probably got a
wow, that was tough. me. I gotta go back. I gotta get back in the 400s. I want to see something.
Oh, see.
Yeah, I didn't want to eventually get that game, but let's see. 43, Cyber... Yeah, I just opened up Cybernoid. That was Cybernoid. Okay.
The way this thing has the preview monitor is so dope.
Sweet.
Space Hunter? Space Hunter. Remember that 464? Spy Hunter? We got Spy Hunter. We got Ghostbusters.
Spy Hunter? That was a driving game, I think.
So remember that. 400s. Okay. Egypt.
Atari 400?
Huh?
Atari 400?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, Destination Earthstar. Let's see what that is. It's up one. Back future.
Where's Destination?
Up one. Back. Destination Earthstar. 439. Wow.
Wow. Dude, I doubt when I bought this, I'm like, I doubted my purchase. I don't think it's... I'm not going to doubt it anymore. No, that's not this cool. Oh, cool. A space flight simulator, Destination. What was it called?
Oh, I see. It's like Star Blasters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm screwed up
your
interface here.
No, yeah.
I'm trying to get the...
Yeah, we're going to start with that. Would you call this a Starstream game or what?
Destination Earthstar.
Yeah, but what did you say? What kind of a game is it?
Star Blasters. It's a first-person.
Star Blasters.
Yeah. Star Blasters.
Was that the first game? Star Blasters.
It was like the first one where you were going through the stars.
Okay.
At least on the Atari 400.
Is that what you would consider an open world? Massive player open world or no?
Well, it looks like an 8x8 data grid, so it's pretty... I mean, it's an open world, but it's pretty small.
Nice. I like the mix. Yeah. I'm gonna get it closer here.
Thank you. have some DVDs too.
Yeah.
Let's just leave this set up and we'll
restart right now. Perfect.
Thank you.
butter or anything special?
Thank you.
starting Xenia Destination.
Here's the plot of the movie. You ready for this?
Yeah.
200 years ago, a random number of Earthlings were captured for slave labor. They eventually earned their freedom and the privilege to live amongst the aliens as equals. The descendants of these enslaved Earthlings formed a group and sent a volunteer into outer space in the hopes of finding planet Earth again. Players have to travel through 8 vast planetary systems in order to get back to their original home world.
8 systems.
Yeah. Funny, huh?
Yep.
That video games bring science fiction to life?
Uh-huh.
Right? You're only limited by your own imagination, right?
The only limit is your imagination ever.
Right. It's a pretty interesting, amusing concept.
Yep.
Yeah.
The imagination, that's the key to the simulation theory.
Oh, really? How so?
Is that if you can imagine it, you can speak it, and if you can speak it, it can come into existence. There's still a couple of ice cores in here.
Simulation theory, it all comes back to that, huh?
Yup. Always will.
Really? What is so captivating about simulation theory?
That it explains the mysteries that we see in physics in some ways.
Okay.
And that also explains magic and the theory that the universe is not just a simulation, but it's a novelty generator.
Oh.
But it tends to have certain things happen, like an apocalypse. And so information is sent from the future to the past. So say things are invented in the future, they can echo to the past.
How do I know you're not a time traveler? Can you prove to me that you're not?
How would I know?
Huh?
How would I know? How would you know? How would I know that I'm a time traveler in the first place?
Right. Oh, because you're in the simulation. You're just following the program. Right?
Yeah. I think that the... Well, they haven't explained how time and gravity work. and curvature of space-time. It just doesn't really have a satisfactory explanation, so... Mm. You know, they can't... You know, there's the quantum effects of non-locality, where observation or measurement causes things to have a value that they didn't have. They had more of a probability, and so, like, there's all of this, all these calculations that aren't being done when they don't need to be done, and somehow our consciousness causes the final calculations to occur in precise, down to the, you know, precise electron. But until it's something observed by a human, it doesn't matter, and it's an average, and it doesn't need to be calculated. But somehow our attention spirals down to the smallest possible things and coalesces them, but only when we're looking. Otherwise, they just sort of behave according to classical physics and sort of a, you know, classical space-time behavior, where we don't need to know. When I look at a piece of paper, I don't need to know where the electrons are. The electrons are... They don't have a location unless I measure them, and then I can't determine the precise time of the measurement. And if I reduce the time of the measurement, their location becomes fuzzy. So there's not even really a there when you're looking at it. It's an algorithm. You know, like the Mandelbrot set. Could you print out a final copy of it?
No.
No. Because it goes on forever. It's an algorithm.
You said it could fit on the business card.
Yeah, but it could also cover the entire universe. It's infinite because it's an algorithm. And so, you know, we have this mystery of, like, okay, how is, you know, that, like, you know, the speed of light, that might be just simply well, light can go slower than the speed of light. It sounds like a enigmatic statement, but light right. can be slowed down. That's what a prism is doing. It's changing the speed of the photons. Okay. So I'm going to get a bowl for these.